Currently on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Ruth, and we have concluded with chapter 1, and tonight we move to chapter 2. I guess it's good if we'll backtrack just one verse into chapter 1, read verse 22. That'll sort of give us the context of what is going to happen in chapter number 2. So Naomi returned from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whom sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after, or go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not hitherfore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the privilege to hold it in our hands, the privilege to read it. We confess we have no ability to properly understand it. So God, we depend upon you to give us understanding. Reveal to us through your word yourself, ourselves. Help us glory in you and you alone. Make your word come alive to our hearts. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Everything in chapter 1 that we have looked at has happened to get us to chapter 2. It seems that God is interested in this certain Moabite girl named Ruth. And so the famine, the deaths, the barrenness, the blessing once again in Bethlehem has all been orchestrated by God for what reason? To get Ruth from Moab to Israel. And more specifically, to get Ruth to meet a man named Boaz. That's what God's doing. Now, Naomi comes back thinking God has been very heavy-handed with her. She thinks God has dealt very bitterly with her. But in reality, everything is moving toward a glorious hope. Not just for Naomi, but for every sinner separated from God. What we need to remember is there are always two perspectives. There's an earthly perspective and there's a divine perspective. When things happen in our lives, there are two ways of seeing things. From our vantage point and from God's vantage point. And both of them are very, very different. We have to start, I think, considering God's perspective and what goes on in our lives. So let's look here and let's talk about the arrangements that are being made here. The arrangements. Here in verse 1, the author of the book of Ruth is letting the reader know, letting you and I know, something that the characters of the story don't know yet. Not only is there bread in Bethlehem, but there's a kinsman in Bethlehem who is kin to Naomi's husband Elimelech. His name is Boaz. And Boaz, interesting enough, do you know who Boaz's mother is? Rahab. The mother of Boaz is Rahab the harlot. Now, if you think about that, you can see what God was doing back in Jericho, right? So Boaz is this mighty man of wealth or this mighty man of valor. He has this mightiness about him, mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name is Boaz. Now, there is a wonderful law of God at work here when we come to chapter number 2. We mentioned it last week, but we want to talk about it a little bit more closely this week. Ruth asked Naomi if she can now go to the field and, the word here, glean. Now, the law of God that was at work to take care of widows and orphans and poor people was a law that prescribed to farmers and landowners that when they harvested their fields, they were to intentionally, on purpose, deliberately leave grain in the corners of the fields so that those who were poor and widows and orphans could come and glean. They were not to pick anything in those corners. If they dropped anything, they were not to pick up what they dropped. And if they missed anything in the haste of their harvest, they were not to go back and harvest what they missed. They were to leave all that so that the poor and the widows and the orphans could come and find food. So gleaning was a provision for the poor or for the widow, allowing them to gather food from the corners and from the borders of the field after the harvesters were finished harvesting. But remember, all of this is taking place in the days of the judges. And in the days of the judges, everyone, including landowners, were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. They weren't necessarily all obeying God's law. So there were a lot of landowners who were not complying to the law of God. In addition to this, Ruth is a foreigner. She is a Moabitess, and she has no right to glean. She's not an Israelite. So what Naomi, or what Ruth says is that she is going to go out and she is going to hopefully find in someone's sight grace. She wants to go glean in a field where she may find the grace of the landowner. Now, notice what the Word of God says here in verse number 3. And she went and she came. Well, she went and she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. That word hap means it just so happened that Ruth wound up in Boaz's field. Or by accident, or by mere coincidence, or by simply good fortune, chance, good luck. Now that would be an earthly perspective. That day just so happened, Ruth, who was gleaning, wound up in Boaz's field, who she doesn't even know is a kinsman of Naomi. Of course, we know this is a play on words, right? We know that this reality of Ruth gleaning in the field of Boaz was no accident. There was no luck involved. There was no coincidence or good fortune or happenstance. We know from God's perspective, this was the hand of God. Now, from an earthly perspective, we might say, how fortunate. But from God's point, it wasn't fortunate. It was the providence of God making these arrangements. It was the guiding hand of God at work that had moved Ruth in this particular direction. She's in Boaz's field because God had directed her to Boaz's field. Amen? And then notice what happens in verse number 4. And behold, same sort of thing. Wouldn't you know it? The same time Ruth's gleaning in a field of Boaz, Boaz comes from Bethlehem to his field. Boy, isn't that fortunate? Isn't that a strange coincidence? No. The arrival of Boaz to check on the harvesting of his fields happened to be at the same time that Ruth happened to be in his field. No accident. God is skillfully making arrangements for Ruth and Boaz to meet. They are unaware of this truth, but God is working behind the scenes to bring them together. For what purpose? To carry forth the redemptive plan of God. And while it does seem like a stroke of extraordinary good luck, it really wasn't. It was the providence of God at work, because from God's perspective, are you listening? From God's perspective, there are no accidents, there is no luck, there are no coincidences, and there is no chance. Instead, it's an all-powerful God working. Now, understand this. If we have come to Christ, because Boaz is a type of Christ, if we have come to Christ, it was no accident. we have providentially been brought to see Christ for who He is. No man can come to the Son unless what happens? The Father draws him. Here, as the Father draws Ruth and Boaz together, so has God drawn you and I to Christ if we know Him as Savior and Lord. Amen? I did not wake up one day and decide to come and trust Christ. No, God used ordinary means to bring me and to bring you to Christ. But if we are His, we have all been brought to Him. And we all found ourselves gleaning in His fields when He showed up. The arrangements. Number two. Notice, secondly, the agreement. Boaz notices Ruth. There's something about Ruth. Now, you know why Boaz notices Ruth? Because God has put a love in Boaz's heart for Ruth. So Boaz sees Ruth and inquires about who she is. Who is this lady? And so he's told it's Ruth who has come back from Moab with Naomi. And that's what the servant tells him in verse number 6. And she told that particular servant that she wanted to glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came early this morning. She's continued from morning unto evening, and she tarried a little while in the house. And then Boaz speaks to Ruth. And Boaz promises that he will protect her, that he will provide for her, and that he will give her rest. Right? He says, I've told my men servants not to lay a hand on you. Right? And in his fields, Ruth is going to be taken care of. Amen. They have been instructed to give her water. And I just want to say this. Gleaners were not given water. The water was for his harvesters, but she gets a special privilege because he's got eyes for her. And so from the very first time that Boaz opens his mouth to speak to Ruth until the last words that he utters in the end of the book, his entire tone is a tone of compassion and grace and generosity. And although she is a foreigner, although she is from the land of Moab, although she is not an Israelite, she finds favor and protection and provision and rest in Boaz. And I want to say this, and I hope you'll understand what I'm saying. The hope of Ruth is not found in a field. The hope of Ruth is not found in her gleaning. The hope of Ruth is that she has found favor in the eyes of a man. And our hope as believers is not found in our circumstances or in our situations, or even in our prosperity. Our hope is that we have found favor in the eyes of a man, Jesus Christ. Now listen. Boaz promises provision, protection, rest. But there are conditions. Condition one, do not glean in any other field. Do not glean in any other field. Ruth is instructed to only glean in the fields of Boaz. Because Boaz is going to make sure that every time she gleans, she's going to find success. He will instruct his harvesters not only to leave the corners and not go back and pick up what they've dropped or what they've missed, he is going to instruct them to drop her handfuls on purpose. And I'm here to tell you something tonight. My life and your life is a testament that God has over and over and over again dropped hands full of purpose for us. Do not glean in any other field, because it is in God's field, it is in Boaz's field, that she will find protection and provision and rest. Where do we find protection, provision, and rest? Only in Christ's field. Then it says here, she is to attach herself to Boaz's maidens. And then look at the next verse. Let thine eyes be on the field that they, his maidens, do reap, and go after them. Attach yourself to Boaz's female servants. Follow them as they harvest the fields. And then she is told she can drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now, that's an interesting thing there, because in the culture in which this story is found, the context in, normally foreigners would draw water for the Israelites. Say amen. Especially women would draw water for men. So foreigners would draw water for Israelites, and women would draw water for men. Yet here is Ruth, who is going to drink from water that has been drawn by Israelites and by men. It is extraordinary what God is doing here. Listen, we are to live our lives as God's people in His fields while we are on this earth. And we are to live with His people. It is in God's field and with God's people, His servants, His maidens, that is where we will find provision and protection and rest. In His fields with His people. And if you try to divorce those two, you'll find that you don't have provision and protection and rest. Amen. There is protection, right? Ruth, I can protect you. Ruth, I can provide for you. Ruth, I can give you rest. Ruth, I can give you drink. But you're going to have to be in my field, and you're going to have to follow my maidens. And what Jesus says to us is this: listen, I will provide for you. I will protect you. But you need to be in my fields, and you need to be with my people. Because it will be through my people that I provide for you and protect you. And you don't find these things in the field of the world or with the people of the world. Say amen. I told my mom, who worked most of her life at Rose's department store in Virginia, I told her several years before she finally quit, I said, listen, when they are done with you, they will throw you away and they'll find somebody else to do your job. That's exactly what they did. That's what the world does. We find protection, provision, rest in Christ, in His fields, with His people. Say amen. So Boaz promises Ruth that if she will stay with him in his fields, if she will stick with his people, he will protect her, he will provide for her, he will give her rest. And those things can only be found for Ruth in Boaz. And they can only be found for us in Christ. Because doesn't Christ tell us not to worry about what we will eat or drink or wear? So stay with Christ in His fields and with His people, and He will give you these things, right? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Say amen. Number three. I've got a clock on my thing here, so I know what time it is. I got 7 minutes. I'll make it, I think. Thirdly is the adoration. The arrangements made by God, and then the agreement, I'll protect you, I'll provide for you, I'll give you rest if you'll stay in my fields, follow my maidens. And then verse 10 is the adoration. Ruth is overwhelmed. Ruth cannot believe what her ears are hearing. Ruth cannot compute all that Boaz is saying to her, because there is no thought of entitlement in Ruth's heart. There is no presumption of what she thinks she deserves. She has no merits. She's a foreigner, doesn't deserve anything, looking just to find favor and grace in the eyes of some landowner. And boy, she has gotten more than she's bargained for. She simply can't believe what Boaz has done for her. You know why? Because she truly knows who she is. What'd she do? She fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. Which is simply the expression of someone who understands she is inferior to the one that is superior. And what did she say? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? You ever ask that question? Why have we found grace in God's eyes? What is there about me that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? Ruth says, seeing what? I don't even belong here. I'm a stranger. She is a Moabite. She is a foreigner. She has no right to glean in the first place, but she is deeply moved by the favor she receives from Boaz. Can I ask you a question? What is the proper response of someone who deserves nothing yet receives grace and provision and protection and rest? What should be her response? Should that not be her response? Say amen. Should she not worship and have a feeling of overwhelming gratitude toward Boaz? She doesn't know why. She just knows that she has. And I don't know why that I found grace in God's eyes. All that I know is I have. And I don't know why you have found grace in God's eyes. All I know is you have. So let's just praise Him. Let's just worship Him. Let's just glorify Him. Let's just show Him our gratitude for what He's done for worthless, unfit people like us. She is amazed at His grace. We sang the song, didn't we? We sing it with no feeling, because we've ceased to be amazed by His grace. She is amazed that a wretch like her could find such wonderful grace in the eyes of Boaz. And she cannot believe, knowing who she is, Boaz is indifferent to the fact that she is a stranger. And knowing me, I am amazed. that God, through the blood of Christ, is indifferent to who I am. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. Anyone who desires to find favor in His eyes can. Anyone who truly desires to have Him can have Him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how broke you are. If you want Christ, you can have Him. Do you see what it was that attached her to His favor? Look what he says in verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not therefore. Look at verse number 12, which is a wonderful verse. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Do you see what attaches her to the favor of Boaz? It's the same thing that attaches us to the favor of God. Faith. Faith. Ruth, her response was radical and irrational. She preferred the unknown world of her mother-in-law. She abandoned her own mother and father, and she abandoned her own native land, and she cast her lot with a people in a land unto a God whom she had not previously known. And Boaz summarizes it this way. The reason I am showing you grace, the reason you have found favor in mine eyes, is because you have sought refuge in God. You have sought refuge under His wings. And those are good wings to seek refuge under. God is compared to a hen who provides for his chicks, provides for her chicks, protects her chicks, gives rest to her chicks. You've sought refuge under the wings of God. And listen here, Ruth. You won't be disappointed you did that. And let me ask you a question. Of those of you who are here who sought refuge under the wings of Christ, have you ever once been disappointed? Has He ever once failed you? The loving kindness of God is communicated to Ruth through Boaz. And you know how God communicates loving kindness to us? Through our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. But under His wings, there is protection, there is provision, and there is rest. Stay under His wings.